Do you want to dive into the bizarre world of the paranormal? Do ghosts, UFOs, or the supernatural amaze you to the point of wanting to learn more? Then you need BVRN, the Black Vault Radio Network. With more than 750 hours of on-demand talk radio, syndicated from more than 35 shows, the Black Vault Radio Network is your one-stop shop for the world of the unexplained. Check us out and tune in 24 hours a day, www.blackvaultradio.com. Again, that's www.blackvaultradio.com.
When you flashed, I saw what looked like a figure standing on the floor.
Okay, this is screen team. We're ready for EVP sweep.
That is weird. These cameras don't do this.
Water supposedly will come off and on in various rooms.
Said our EMF meter started this going haywire.
You're listening to the number one source for paranormal evidence brought to you firsthand by real investigators in the field. No hoaxes, no disinformation. You're listening to The Ghost Project.
I found myself face to face with someone or something that was attempting to play with my psyche as well as my physical being.
How sure are you of that?
I'm 100% sure of that.
Let's go! Terre Haute Radio.
The Internet's only rock and roll paranormal extravaganza.
Special guest with us, Robbie Thomas, psychic medium. Where is the Lawrence House?
It's in Ontario, Canada. It is a house that was owned by a shipbuilder, and it was haunted. The tools of the trade back then were baby powder. The reason being is I could see, and the kids with me couldn't, so I figured if I threw the baby powder in the air as the spirit was walking through, it would cover it, and then they could say, oh, we see it now. The next tool was a flashlight, so we knew where we were going, and a rope, so we could tie it around so we wouldn't get taken away by the spirit. So that was me.
Isn't that what your last girlfriend said?
that's just a Friday night for Anthony. Baby powder, a rope, and a flashlight.
Terre Haute Radio, Thursdays, 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern, on Bounce Radio and parahub.org.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk with Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
Dr. Fred Alan Wolf is a physicist, writer, and lecturer who earned his Ph.D. in theoretical physics at UCLA in 1963. He continues to write and lecture throughout the world and conduct research on the relationship of quantum physics to consciousness. He is the National Book Award-winning author of Taking the Quantum Leap. He is also a member of the Martin Luther King Jr. Collegium of Scholars. That alone should let you guys know that this is going to be an interesting hour here with Dr. Fred Alan Wolf. His website is www.fredalanwolf.com. And with that, I'd like to welcome Dr. Fred Alan Wolf to the show. Dr. Wolf, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine. I just want to echo there. I was trying to listen to the music, but it sounded like somebody was using a lawnmower to mow down a bunch of garbage cans. I mean, that's an interesting sound. I have never heard a lawnmower going through garbage cans before. Very, very, very fascinating.
You should listen more.
So maybe that's what the ghosts are doing. I don't know. Ghost talk, maybe the problem, we can't listen to the ghosts because we keep listening, we keep hearing these garbage cans being mowed down by lawnmowers.
Well, you see, that's what the people like to hear. Well, no, that's actually what I like to hear.
I guess they do. I haven't done this show before, so I hadn't realized what people are looking for.
Well, the way the show kind of runs here, this is a completely independent show, Dr. Wolf, and we all the music we have on the show is independent music too, and it's from all different types of one time you might hear garbage cans getting mowed down by lawnmowers, and then you might hear a country band. We try to mix it up the best we can here, but it's all independent stuff from independent artists who are out there. Even our commercials are from independent people who are doing things. Hopefully it's a little something for everybody. Yeah, you got caught up into the garbage can thing, though, unfortunately, Dr. Wolf.
No. I realize that today's music is. People like different things today. I don't object to it. I told you what it sounds like to me.
Well. Basically, and I want to talk about, this is such a refreshing thing to talk to you first off, because as the people know on this show, one of the things I do, my process throughout the week when I'm preparing to do this show, when we're all getting ready here and getting things lined up, I usually ask our guests if, there's a couple things, a couple bullet points and stuff like that that they'd like to just throw down that we have on our notes and stuff like that. And I have to say, you are probably one of the first, I think you are the first guest that said to me, listen, why don't you figure out some questions for me to ask? It's your time. Don't you have some questions for me? And I was like, whoa. And it made me think for a second.
Wait. You mean other people that you put on the show, they send you a list of questions they want you to ask them?
No. It ain't like that. Usually, the idea usually is just kind of like, our approach is kind of like just a couple of bullet points or something like that. But then sometimes people do send us a whole list of questions to ask them. We kind of leave it up to them and stuff like that. But you on go ahead.
Yeah, maybe they're trying to sell something or something like that. But, I realize, you got to make money. If you're trying to sell a product, maybe it's a good idea to to ask people to ask you about the product. Oh, my product will grow here on the billiard ball. It always works and so forth. Ask me questions about billiard balls, and I'll tell you all about shooting pool with hair on it.
Well,
you know, something like that.
It was really
refreshing.
It was really refreshing, though, to hear somebody go, look, why don't you figure some questions out for me?
Okay.
You know, and I did. You know, and look, I'm going to be frank here. I mean, I'm a total layman to the world of physics in itself. I mean, we touch upon it in our studies of the paranormal and ghosts and stuff like that. But, you know, just judging by your previous work and you know, obviously, we, you know, What the Bleep Do We Know? It's where my girlfriend introduced me to you through that film. And we were just totally blown away
Interesting. All these girls, they like me. I'm an old guy, you know. You know, I think they just, you know, they want to pinch my cheeks or something. I don't know. It's some kind of weird sexual fantasy that young girls have for old guys. I don't know what's going on.
Well, my girlfriend...
Anyway, I'm having a good time. I mean, that's the nature of life. If I were, like, 30 years younger, watch out, boy. You wouldn't want to pull around with me.
Well, my girlfriend actually was the one who... I asked Amber, my girlfriend, I'm like, hey, you know, is there anybody you think would be cool to have on the show here, you know, for 2009? What would you be interested in? And she put you on the list, so you can... My girlfriend is the one that suggested to have you on, so, yeah, she loves you, and she was really bummed that she couldn't be here to at least listen to the live interview tonight. She was really bummed about it, so she loves you.
I hope she's listening right now. She is. What's your name?
Her name's Amber Rose.
Amber Rose?
Amber Rose.
Oh, that's a lovely name. Amber Rose. Well, hi, Amber Rose. Thank you very much, and I'm glad you like me. I like you, too.
Well, let's get into this. I really want to understand. I mean, we're going to try to. I mean, I hope my head don't explode. It's been a pretty active show so far. But one of the things, you know, I mean, a simple question. I mean, probably a basic question to kind of get the wheels rolling. I think would be, you know, as far as quantum physics is concerned. Okay.
Yes, as far as it's concerned.
Well, the world of it. Okay. You know, we live in a physical world, and I've talked about this. Doug's talked about this on the show before too, where, you know, our impression of the physical world here is, you know, it's a slow, dense world we live in. Everything's very heavy. I mean, God, I'm holding a pen in my hand, and if I let it go, boom, it hits the floor within a couple, not even a second. Right. We live in a very heavy, slow-moving, dense physical world. Now, the quantum realm, though, as far as quantum physics is concerned, okay, how would that? I mean, how is this different? How would it be different from the physical realm that we live in? If that's assuming that there is a quantum type realm, is there? You follow what I'm saying, though, Dr.
Oh, I follow absolutely, perfectly, exactly what you're saying. But let me try to explain this to you because it's a kind of, your question is really, believe it or not, you're saying to me, explain to me the history of physics, because that's really, that's what we started out with. We started out with, why is the world so heavy and dense and ooky and, you know,
yeah.
And now, so how do we get to quantum physics and all that weird stuff going on there? What's going on? Well, one of the things, you mentioned you're just dropping something on the floor and wow, and it's dense, it falls and, you know, that kind of stuff. All of that stuff, just like you just explained it, is itself, when you think about it and try to understand it, is a huge mystery. Gravity, for example, the fact that when you drop something, it falls, is very weird. I mean, it is a very strange thing. We've gotten used to living in this weird strangeness, so we don't go jumping through the floor every time we drop something and it falls. But, geez, why don't we just think where it is? What makes it go down? And, you know, if we're standing here in Michigan, 2 miles north of Detroit, or in Canada, or if we're on the other side of the globe, which I would guess might be someplace in Australia somewhere, and maybe closer to, maybe Australia, they're dropping things too, and they're all going down. But we know the world's round, so what does that mean? They go, suddenly your mind starts to think and realize that up and down is just a relative way of explaining the nature of gravity, which is a kind of strange warping of space and time. In fact, the warping of space and time wasn't there, and I'm jumping from what we saw in the early times looking at gravity to what we now understand gravity is. We have moved into a realm where suddenly space and time itself ain't that good old solid stuff that we can rely on. Right now, for example, you probably drive a car to get to work, go someplace, or wherever you're going.
Yeah.
You probably have a global positioning device in your car which says, turn left at the corner of blah, blah, and blah, blah.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And then you turn left and it says, no, dummy, no, no, you, the next corner, not this corner, you know. It corrects you and it talks to you, you know.
Yeah.
And you wonder, how is that working? What is going on? Well, there's a satellite that's whirling about something like 12,500 to 25,000 miles above where you are, and it's every time your car moves, it sends a signal up to that satellite, and that satellite sends back down to you coordinates of where you are. But how can it know where the heck you are? Well, it has to know what time it is to know where you are. In other words, what I'm trying to explain to you is that the way the world works and how we come to understand the world has gotten more and more into that ethereal, weird kind of stuff, which has to do with time and space and technology based upon quantum physics, and not so much on the hard, real, hard stuff that we're kind of grown accustomed to be used to. I mean, you know, that's, so actually, when you look at these satellites, these clocks, because these satellite clocks are whirling about in space and are in gravitational fields themselves, we find that the clocks start to run a little bit fast up there.
Uh-huh.
Why are they running fast? Because it turns out there's a gravitational shift of all clocks on Earth from the clocks up there, and there's also another kind of shift which makes them speed up a little bit, slow down a little bit, but they speed up a lot more than they slow down. And that shifting actually has to be adjusted by our clocks down here sending them signals saying, you're running too fast. Why are they running fast? They're atomic clocks. What makes them run fast?
Mm-hmm.
What makes them run fast is something called the general theory of relativity. There's a relativistic effect that gravity is really affecting time, or to put it better, space and time, when it's distorted, when it distorts in a certain way, actually creates the expression of gravity. So what we're experiencing right now are, we're living in a time-space warped world. Your head, if you stand up, is in a slightly different warped position than your feet when you're standing up.
Mm-hmm.
Your feet is closer to the center of the Earth, and it's in a gravitationally slightly stronger field than where your head is. So that means your head's in a linear field. It means the clocks in your head are running slightly faster than the clocks at your feet. In other words, even through your whole body, there is no such thing as absolute now, because there is no absolute now to which we can measure that with. So these are the things that we've learned, we've come to learn. And when you get down to quantum physics, it puts more awareness into the show. It even says, hey, man, not only is time distorted and space distorted and affects gravity and changes how we look at the cosmos and the Big Bang and the whole universe, okay? And this all comes from the question, why is it so dense, this world we live in? What's this inertia we live in? But it actually starts to change
mm-hmm.
how we understand time to behave when we're dealing in this realm of quantum physics. And what we find there is that time doesn't run linearly straightforward. Tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. Every once in a while, it not only skips a beat, but it actually goes backwards in time, and then forward, and then backwards, and then forward. On the average, it drifts forward, but if it didn't have these time flips going on, quantum physics wouldn't work. And if quantum physics doesn't work, your television screen doesn't work. And if your television screen, your computer doesn't work. And if your computer doesn't work, your car doesn't work. And if your car doesn't work, and bangle, bangle, bangle. All of our technology is based upon the fact that time and space and quantum mechanics has to be weird and warping and changing of what we normally commonly think of the good old heavy stuff, inertia, constant time, constant space.
Mm-hmm.
So all that is really a kind of illusion. So that's, this is what makes it interesting and fascinating for people when they start to learn what's really going on in their ordinary common experiences.
Well, okay, and that kind of ties in this thought I had, too. We've talked about the quantum, like I mentioned, I said quantum realm as opposed to quantum physics, okay?
Right.
We've talked to people about this as far as the afterlife is concerned.
Yeah.
And we've talked about that earlier in the show tonight, ironically enough.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about, you know, the afterlife, and we've been told there's ideas out there that there's the physical realm, we've discussed that, the heavy
yeah.
physical realm, okay? And there is a realm that we could go to. There's all types of rules and stuff involved with there. But there is a realm that I've been told that we possibly could go to as a disembodied being called the quantum realm. Okay. Now, the idea that I've been told, again, these are things that I've learned, is that, and it kind of ties with what I think we're talking about here as far as quantum physics is concerned, is that in the dense physical world we live in here, our lives basically are on a linear time scale. Like you mentioned things about driving in the car. Well, yeah, I'm going to go to work tomorrow. I got to be there, let's say, at 9 a.m. It's a half an hour drive to work, so that means I have to be on the road by at least 8:30 in the morning to get myself there by 9 a.m. because there is a linear time that I have to follow to get me there, and I am constrained by linear time itself. In the quantum realm, what we've been told is that it's not the same. When you think of something, it just kind of, you may just go there. There isn't any type of, you know, linear time involved. You just kind of go from one point A to point B, and that's it. There isn't that linear idea involved with that. Are you following what I'm saying so far? Do I sound like a complete kook?
No, I find what you say, but I have to kind of slow down a little bit and ask you a little bit more about what you mean when we go there. That's the interesting. The thing that you mentioned, which has to be pointed out, is what you mean by saying when we go there is if we're going to another realm. So
no.
I need to get you clear in your mind as to what you're actually saying to me.
Well,
let's just say
that you're in the, okay, the physical realm, like I said, if I want to go somewhere, it's going to take me a half an hour to go there. I am constrained by that time. Now, again, this is what I've been told, and maybe this hasn't been fleshed out. There needs to be more questions asked about this, because what I've been told is in this quantum realm, where quantum physics may apply, is that, you know, it isn't really a matter of having to get in the car, start the car up, warm the car up, and then drive to your destination. It's a matter of thinking it. Boom. You think about it, and you just go there. It sounds insane, but these are the things that we've learned.
I never heard that. Who told you that?
Well, there's been a few people we've talked to over the years on about this idea. It's floated around back and forth. It's just kind of something that floats around the paranormal community about the quantum realm itself. And just existence itself, you know, a disembodied soul. And yeah, it's something that I thought about, and it kind of seemed to apply to this discussion.
Well, as I said, there's got to be some things to be clear. But let me try to clarify what you're asking about.
Okay,
in
all
some
right.
Ways, if you don't mind, my
no
business.
Problem. No problem at all.
When I teach or when I try to clarify something, I always try to use an example from everyday life that we know of, or from our knowledge base that we already have, in order to explain through metaphor this weird stuff that we don't really have much experience about.
Okay.
So let me explain something about the different realms, the quantum realm, the Earthian realm. Okay. Right now, if you were to walk around on the outside world from here to there on your street or whatever,
yeah,
you would more or less get the feeling that you're walking on some kind of plane, that the Earth was really a flat plane. In fact, that's what people thought for a long time until they discovered the world was round. And there are many people even today that believe that the world ain't round at all. That's some kind of optical illusion created by weird people who make these optical illusions. Like, I mean, really, there are people who believe that. So flat earthers are called, or what are they called? Flat earth society. Okay, so here we have as far as our practical, hardcore reality of the hard stuff that's out there, we're living on a flat plane, okay, and so forth. Now, as we go, as we walk, say, or ride, whatever, we allow that you can go off the ground a little bit, but as we fly in a straight line, and pretty soon we end up in Australia or something like that, and as far as we look down below, the sky looks pretty flat down there, so it looks like we're flying, you know, in a flat world. But actually, we've moved to the other side of the world when we go on to Australia, let's say.
Uh-huh.
But that doesn't have any meaning for us because we don't see any difference. We just see us going one direction. There we are. We don't sense any other side of the world. What does that mean? We've gone into another dimension. That sounds really scary. We're in another dimension? Yes, we've gone into the third dimension. What is that third dimension? My God, I thought we were living on a flat plane. We're going, what? I see there's maybe a little bit of third dimension here, but that I don't pay much attention unless I'm flying an airplane. But, my God, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Well, when you're talking about the subatomic realm or the quantum realm and you're comparing it to the classical realm, the tendency is to think of the quantum realm as another dimension, which is foreign, another realm, something which is not there, which is you got to do something special to get there or you think you're there or whatever you were talking about before.
Uh-huh.
The point is, you are, at this second, this nanosecond, this nanosecond, there. You're already in that realm, whether you like it or not. And your sensory experiences, which are being bombarded from that realm, are being bombarded at such a rate that what you're getting is a kind of like a hailstorm averaging out of that realm, which is giving you a sense and an illusion, like a motion picture that flies before your eyes, one frame following the other, very rapidly,
uh-huh,
of continuous solid reality. But there ain't nothing solid out there. So you're living in the illusion of hardcore reality,
mm-hmm,
but you're actually in a very soft, wispy reality,
mm-hmm,
which is bombarding you at such a rate that you have the experience of it being hardcore, in much the same way that you look at a rotating propeller and you say, there's nothing there, but don't stick your head in there because you get it cut off.
Yeah, exactly.
And so the whole point of this discussion is to say to everybody who's listening out there, these are really weird realms that you're talking about, the spiritual realms, the realms of these other, these mind field realms.
Mm-hmm.
You're in them. You never left them. You're already there. You're weird whether you like it or not. You may not wish to acknowledge your weirdness. You may not wish to acknowledge that you have a brain that is being bombarded by all kinds of weird stuff, from particles going backwards and forwards in time to the very nucleus itself, which has a quark gluon field, which is going and that is making things very solid and firm, giving little atoms a sense of, I'm here, I'm here, I'm really here, I'm here, I'm here. And
wow.
All of that is happening at a pretty high, rapid rate. And what's interesting about all of that is that for the most part, we don't pay attention to it. It forms what is called the great sea of unconscious awareness of the world that we live in. But we are capable of entering, to some extent, depending on our intent and how we go about entering into it, we're capable of entering into it and observing aspects of it that sometimes come out to appear to us to be kind of strange, kind of ghost-like,
mm,
kind of like Aunt Matilda's talking to me and she died 20 years ago, kind of like. Because the mind is filled with all kinds of stuff. There was a recent wreck. Remember there are all the big stuff about UFO, close encounters of the fourth kind, that was happening years back? We don't hear much about them right now, but there was this huge wreck of people having these close encounters and being taken up in spaceships, having their sexual organs manipulated, being impregnated,
uh-huh,
or sperm or eggs being taken, or some other kind of stuff, or cows being dropping weirdly in the field. Remember this whole kind of ghostly realm of stuff going on. The X-Files was with us for a long time.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, and it sort of got died out right now. Are the ETs really not paying as much attention to us right now? Well, or is it something that we have in our power of our minds to be able to perceive realities which, even if others may not see them, several people may be able to see simultaneously? That seems to be the kind of evidence we have. This ET stuff may be something from a mind realm, which is not at all as we commonly think of it, because we kind of think of mind as being that wispy stuff which is not really very meaty. And the meat, which is our bodies, being very meaty but not very mindful, you know, we somehow think of these two as being very separate, but maybe there's some kind of really overlap between the two, and that what we project or see as an out there may not actually have solid inertial properties, but if two or more people begin to see them, and if they can possibly have more sensory experiences of them, who's to say whether they're real or not? I don't know how to decide that because, you know, if I'm having a weird experience or what I call a weird experience, if I'm seeing Aunt Matilda or something like that, that may be very personal to me, but Joe Blow next door is seeing Uncle George, and he doesn't know Aunt Matilda from Sam. So, you know, is Aunt Matilda and Uncle George, are they really there? Or are they somehow in some realm floating above us in some kind of way? It's more likely that they're in the minds and the memories and the confabulation, I don't even know what the right word is either, but the configurations of the various neuron firing patterns and mind patterns which make up the minds of the individuals who are having these experiences, and so they're having them. But the whole point is, it's not so separate. It's not that the mind is separated from the body. So it gets into this kind of blurry area.
Wow. Wow, we need to take a break. I got to process this. No, we're going to take a quick break here, I think. But that is.
Sorry, I didn't mean to blow your mind.
No, that's what I do. That's what I do here. This is what we like to have happen to us here. That's where I think the real ground gets covered here, and I think it's fascinating. And I know, Doug, are you still out there, man? Are you still here with us, Doug?
Oh, I'm definitely here. And I was thinking, though, that you were asking about the ethereal realm.
Well,
and then we went into these quantum realms, and then we were into the spiritual realms, and I'm like, okay, I need a map.
That's a good point, Doug. We need a map, because these realms are created from mind. We have created these realms from mind and from experiences that people have had in these realms. You're talking to a guy that's hung out with ayahuasca shamans in the middle of the jungle, and if you think that I haven't gone on journeys and seen some really weird stuff, you're wrong. I have, and I understand what those realms are, maybe because I've had the realms, I've gone there because I'm a physicist and I kind of think my way through stuff. But it's not that they're not real. They're real in the very real sense. In fact, when I told shamans where I had gone and what I had seen, they started to laugh. And I said, what are you guys laughing at? I said, oh, we've been there. We know those guys. That was funny to me. I mean, you know those guys? I mean, first time I met them, they said, oh, yeah, we know those guys. Those are the spirits of this planet, blah, blah, blah. They had it all figured out.
Wow.
So here's an objectivity to a totally subjective experience.
Wow. Let's take a break. I need to just process here for a second. Is that okay with you, Dr. Wolf? Is that your response?
Yeah, whatever.
Okay. Yeah, let's take a quick break. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Keith.
And Doug, are you still there, brother?
And I'm Doug, yes.
Yeah, we're going to be back here in a couple seconds.
Okay.
For more info, visit ghostlytalk.com.
Interested in ghosts, UFOs? How about the occult? Are you psychic? Would you like to find out? Well, if you're intrigued by the world's curiosities and all that is paranormal, then Paralore.com is a place for you. Create your own profile, start a photo album, write a blog, or just hang out and watch countless hours worth of paranormal videos while chatting with other Paralore members. Who knows? You could win a prize or two if you're quick and brave enough. It's all here, and it's all free. Visit www.paralore.com and join today. Again, membership is free, and we know you won't be disappointed.
Paralore.com. Unlock your mind.
Dearest friends,
Do you ever wonder, who am I? Why am I here? What is the meaning of life? Why do I keep repeating the same patterns, and how can I change them? Why am I free from being able to have the life that I've always dreamed of, and what is stopping me from having this? How do I meditate? What is an aura, and how do I see one? How can I come to a sense of well-being physically and spiritually, always? How can I remain in a state of absolute love, that soulful love, felt and expressed from within the heart of the soul, or we may say unconditional love, bliss, peace, and spiritual oneness in life continuously? Dr. Patty Diamond, Lady Diamond, in co-creation with Spirit, shows you the path through the new book called Stepping into Spiritual Oneness, Spiritual Rememberings of the Soul Through Life Experience, available at Diamond Lady Publishing, www.diamondladypublishing.net.
Do you feel like there's something happening in your home or business? Something you can't explain? Do you think that whatever is happening seems to be paranormal? Do they exist? Florida Ghost Hunters at FloridaGhostHunters.com are looking for haunted locations throughout Central Florida. Let the team at Florida Ghost Hunters investigate your paranormal experience. Their mission is to disprove a haunting with science, to find a reasonable explanation to a problem, and whatever is left becomes evidence. FloridaGhostHunters.com. If you've experienced paranormal activity in your home or business, you are urged to visit FloridaGhostHunters.com and click Need Help. FloridaGhostHunters.com.
Oh, yes, the sound of garbage cans.
Yes. Lawnmowers going to garbage cans. I love that. It's totally awake, and you can't sleep through it. Anyway.
No, you can't.
We are having...
With a Doug or Scott, what are you guys?
All right.
Something about you wanted to get into out-of-body experiences, O-O-B-E.
Yeah.
I thought I would start off with a song. It's so strange and weird. Such dramatic strangers of the night. And all, you know, we want to, you know, it's so strange to talk about out-of-body experience. What does that really mean? What is going on here? And then I think a moment, I think, well, wait a minute. Here you guys are. And are you really there? I mean, I got this instrument held to my head, and there's voices coming into my ear, but is this telephone really here? Or am I having some kind of out-of-body experience right now? In fact, wait a minute. This isn't my body. Who's this guy wearing a gray? This isn't me. I must be having a strange experience. In other words, you can get into that kind of stuff, too. But what I'd like to get into right now is children.
Okay.
Children are very interesting if you observe them dispassionately. And one thing I like to talk about is children, when they're really young, they sleep a lot. Why do they sleep so much? There's so much world I could explore. What the heck are they spending all that time sleeping? And in the womb, they sleep like 21, 22 hours, or I don't know, maybe all the time. What are they doing? What's going on there? And then when they, for the first year to the third year or so, they're still sleeping like 12 to 14 hours. What's going on? What we find out is they're going into REM sleep. A lot of REM sleep. Now, what the heck do kids have to REM sleep about? Well, what they're doing is they are integrating experiences from the outside world, which they have when they wake up, you know, like, ooh, out the bed, little rattle shaking, and they try to grab it or something like that, and then some weird face comes in. Oh, he's such a crazy little weedy ratty little. Who's that weird person talking to me like that? Why does he speak English or Chinese or something that I can understand? You know, and so the kid is integrating all these weird experiences that are coming from the outside world, and back to sleep again to try to figure it all out. Try to integrate, try to put everything together. I mean, make a map, try to figure out what's going on. Finally, when the kid starts moving around, he has a lot of hard time not only controlling his muscles, but most of the time he wants to go back to sleep. He wants to go out of his body. In fact, most of the time he is out of his body, and all that learning is teaching him how to get into his body. In other words, mind, which is like a field, is trying to integrate itself into an individual, egocentric little being there who is going to learn to master moving that body around. In other words, the kid is learning yoga whether he likes it or not. And this is really a bringing out of body into the body. Most people think they're never out of the body. Most people think they're in their bodies all the time. Very few people are. Most people are wandering all over the place in their heads. Where the heck are they? You know, you could literally drop a brick on them. They probably wouldn't even feel it. I mean, it maybe they would. I don't know. But for the most part, you know, they're really, really kind of like lost in thought. You've heard that saying before, or you know, they're, you know, mm-hmm. it's all that these experiences are as far removed from body awareness and body consciousness as you can talk about. When you go to sleep, there's a natural tendency to go out of body, but it's something that, you know, that little nudges will wake you up again and bring you back into your body. Nobody sleeps straight through the night. There's little things that come out, wake you up here, wake you up, oh, you go back to sleep, they always wake you up, go back to sleep. You're constantly, because when you're going out of body, when you're having an out of body experience, it could last for maybe a minute or two, and you're not having this experience of being nudged into wakefulness. And there are lucid dreams in which the whole brain gets fired in a very interesting, very energetic pattern, in which you're having experiences as if they were real. And then there are the Tibetan mystics who do Toka meditation, in which they meditate on something for such a long time that they can hold the image of it for minutes, even though the object has since gone. It becomes such a strong field that I understand, I don't know if this is true, but I understand from the works from certain writers who've written about this, that when a Tibetan monk is meditating, holding his image in his head strongly because he's really worked at it, another monk who's just learning could come into the same room and start to meditate, and the first thing that pops into his mind is the image of the other monk holding in his head. And if you get a lot of monks in there holding an image in their head, suddenly they're looking at it, and it looks as objectively real. In fact, I think it gets even stronger because there are more minds, more integration, more overlaps of brain power going on, that they all begin to see the same thing. And so this really is, you know, the talk about out of body, talk about UFO phenomena, and we begin to see this kind of scale been multiplied as a result of this kind of mind-to-mind communication, if you will, or brain power empowering the mind, which is not necessarily contained in the body anyway. So we're having this kind of overlapping stuff. And then we talk about not only UFOs, but talk about people that have near-death experiences and so forth. That's the relaxation. That's going back into the mind field, which you've always been in, but not having the body to concern itself with. With our ayahuasca or shamans, when you take ayahuasca, which is kind of like a poison, your brain starts to go a little bit bananas trying to figure out what memory circuits to ignite to get you to stop poisoning yourself. You stupid jerk, what are you doing? You're killing yourself. You can't do that. And meanwhile, the brain says, oh, well, the guy is not listening to me. He's obviously going to keep doing it. So the brain starts to look for, the mind begins to interact with the brain in such a way that you go to alternative realities that you've always held in your mind to see if there's some way out of the predicament that you're in. And so you suddenly start seeing plants talking to you, and Uncle Joe is there, and as the shamans say, they start talking to their ancient ancestors. I mean, many of these very strange things begin to make sense to me when you understand them from the point of view that mind is not instantly and only contained within each individual brain and nervous system, that mind is a field which can lie outside of that. And I think that's that opens up the door to what we mean by subjectivity. Subjectivity then becomes a way of proceeding, a means by which one proceeds, a set of tools that one develops to privatize one's experience from the outside world of experience. And each person can learn to do that differently. For example, a person who sings and gets on a stage and lets out all of their emotions, and you suddenly feel like crying or rejoicing, or you have a huge sexual excitement because that girl looks so good or that guy looks so good. and you wonder, what is going on? Well, that person is letting go of their mind field in a way that you don't normally do. If you're not on a stage, you're not a performer, you don't tend to inhibit you. You keep yourself locked under certain, you know, ways of thinking, ways of being within your body. And when you take an actor's workshop, which I haven't, but I understand this is what they have to do, they get you to unlock those doors so that even a shy person can become a very extroverted type of performer.
Well, that is a shell that people are, I mean, concerning this subject. I mean, I think that's where that whole term comes from, where you're coming out of your shell. You know,
yeah,
like you said, a shy person, you know, if they can learn how to unlock these things within their mind field, right?
Exactly.
They can go off. They can just go and express themselves and be an extroverted type person when normally, you know, I think maybe, and you've seen people, I mean, I don't want to dwell on music and art and stuff like that, because I love to do that, but, I mean, you've seen people throughout history that, you know, performers, musicians, that when they were doing their thing, they were just, it was like you could feel the fire and the emotion coming off of that person through their instrument, or if they were singing, or if they were acting, whatever it may be.
Right.
But then when you talk to that person afterwards, they're very quiet, and I've met people like this personally. They're very quiet. They don't talk that much. They can't.
That's right.
They can't look you in the eye that much. They're very shy people, and maybe they have that they have that within them where they can turn that switch on. All right.
Well, it's more like they have learned that there is a persona, which means that's a French, comes from the French word persona, person, which means mask. There is a persona, a mask, that they use to rest, to withhold feelings, and they know how to change that persona, that mask, so that when they're performing, it's a sieve. It lets stuff out. It doesn't hide the real intense feelings that are inside. And why does an audience suddenly go, "Wow, I like that guy," or "I like that person," or "like your your girlfriend"? Something Rose, what was her name again?
Oh, Amber Rose.
Amber Rose.
Yeah.
Sorry, Amber. Amber Rose. You know, something about what I let out when I'm on film, and by the way, I let stuff out. I mean, I don't try to be, you know, mincy-wincy about being holier than thou, because I have a pile of higher and deeper degree. I don't do that kind of stuff. So people kind of, you know, they kind of like that. They say, "Oh, this guy's a human being." Well, yeah, I am a human. I'm no different than you.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm letting my stuff out. So by letting myself out, hopefully it'll encourage you to let your mask go for a little while and let your stuff out. Be creative. Open up your doors. Let that mind of yours, let that experience of yours, take down that persona, take down that mask of yours, and let the world see who you are. And when you start doing that, then you begin to see the strangeness of the world in a different way than you normally have come to see it. I get tons of email from people, "Dr. Wolf, I've been trying this, I've been trying that, and I'm so miserable, I'm so terrible." And I say, "Well, you're just in an ego trip right now. You know, you've got the I'm a poor me mask on your face, and you're going to keep that glued on for a while, because you're probably getting some benefit from it."
Mm-hmm.
And I've had Vietnam War veterans come up to me, and they say, "I can't get over the experience. I kill people. I feel terrible. I want to kill myself." And I said, "You know, I'm feeling I can't be worth very much." I said, "Man, you're on an ego trip." I said, "Just because you're thinking less of yourself doesn't make you it doesn't mean you're not on an ego trip. That's an ego trip.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking anything of yourself is an ego trip. I think I'm great. I think I'm SH." You know, the rest of the letters.
Yeah.
if you think those kind of things about yourself, then you are on an ego trip. And so the whole idea is, master of life is the person who knows the ego trips that he can put himself on, and knows and is in control of those ego trips at all time in life. If you can do that, you're called a master. And that's all mastery of life is. It's nothing more than that. It's not being smarter or dumber or more beautiful or more ugly or higher than higher or lower than lower or bigger than bigger or faster than faster. It's simply mastery of the masks that you call yourself that aren't yourself, but seeing them as your masks and using them to do the things that you, in your heart of hearts, desires to do.
Well, Doctor, I really can identify with this, and I know Doug's probably sitting there with his jaw on the floor, too, because just doing this little show that we do every week, you know, we've been at this for a little while now, and I know that, you know, even though we're pretty much the same people doing the show than we are when we're not doing the show. That's what we like to think the show is about, is it's a real show but done by real people. But, I mean, for example, I'll get done tonight, and I will be a bit drained from doing the show. I mean, and I am every week because I know I'm every week. And, you know, Doug, feel free to chime in on this, too, if you want. I know every week when we do this show, we try to push beyond ourselves. And we try to learn more things, and hopefully the listening audience tries to learn more things, too. And we're stepping out, too. You know, we go to work every day. We sit there and do our jobs and stuff. But this is these 3 hours we have for this week. It's our time to step out also and really express ourselves and have our guests express themselves. And, you know, I know I feel different every week after I'm done, after every show. Not in a bad way. I mean, some days, especially this week, I'm going to be tired. But, I mean, it's a good tired, though. I mean, it's a feeling of accomplishment. It's a feeling of learning something new. It's a feeling of going beyond ourselves again once more to see, you know, and learn all this interesting stuff. So I can really identify with this idea and, you know, there is that ego. I mean, there's ego with everything. I mean, even to come here and put together this show and talk to you, I mean, there's ego involved with that. We're saying that we can do this thing. We can do this no matter what, and we're here doing that. So, yeah, it's such a – oh, wow, I'm done. I could go on for days about this, Dr. Wolf. I mean, do you follow what I'm saying?
Smoke come out your
head. Yeah, exactly. Do you follow what I'm saying, though?
I'm following that you are now feeling inspired. And that I like to see. I like to encourage you to keep not only doing what you're doing, but do more. I mean, if you're so inclined, if you feel the urge to move into even higher fields of whatever you want to do, and notice that what you're doing is benefiting others because they're listening to you and they want to know what you guys are talking about.
Yeah.
And keep it up because that's exactly what needs to be done.
Oh man! Wow. I. Yeah, you know, and this sucks because it's the end of the show. God, I'm so bummed right now because I could talk to you for hours, Dr. Wolf, about this stuff. And really, I mean, there is all this weird stuff. We talked about all this weird stuff. But it always seemed, and this is something that I always say a lot on this show, is that it's taken me all these years of studying all this weird stuff out there to really understand the real world around me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's very wise. I mean, that's exactly where your mind should be. I applaud you. Not many people would say that.
That's really what it comes down to. And unfortunately, God, it's coming down to, like, the wire here. We're, like, right on the last second. Dr. Wolf, just hang on the line for 1 second. Don't leave us just yet, okay? We're just going to close the show out. Doug, are you still there, man?
Yes, I am still here.
Doug's enjoying watching my meltdown occur right live on the air here. He's going
to
kick back.
I have to agree with 99.999% of it because I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I'm going to do this like the amateur that I am. I have to thank all of the wonderful people that were on the show tonight. First and foremost, Dr. Fred Allen Wolf.
Yes.
For just, wow, anyways. Miriam Delicato for just some great ideas. We talked about so much wonderful stuff with her. Dr. Dennis Riga and Michelle Szabo, we talked about afterlifedata.com. Fantastic website. Check that out. Submit your commercials. We do have a winner for the DVD giveaway too tonight. Keith Brewer for stepping in and playing guest host tonight. Thank you so much, Keith, for hanging out. Doug, Mr. Doug, the man down there in Florida right now, thank you also for hanging out all night when you could have been probably laying on the beach somewhere.
Well, thank you for running the show, and I have to say thank you to each and every listener. I hope you all got as much out of this as we did, and even more, because
special.
The show is for the listeners as well. I mean, we like to learn and grow, but it's for everybody.
Yeah, and I hope that everybody out here takes something away from this show, because my head just like, it's just done right now. Because, I mean, we're thinking here. We're really trying to put our heads into this thing. Oh, man. Okay, I'm done. I'm going to quit my rambling and all that fun stuff. I'm done here. Dr. Wolf, hang on the line. Don't leave us. Just like I said, we're going to close the show out. This has been Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Keith.
And I am Doug.
And we'll see you guys next week when we're in better shape.